Well, for the last couple of Sundays that I've been able to speak to you, I've been on a subject called Understanding Honor. I anticipate that today is going to be the last in this short series. And for those who have may not been a part of this up to this point, I just want to give you a brief background of what we've talked about. Before today, we've talked about the definition of honor, of what honor is. We talked about who we honor. We talked about what brings about a lack of honor in our lives. We talk about how we see honor displayed, how we see honor displayed through our lives, and how we learn honor. And today I want to finish through a teaching I'm calling, How Do We Honor the Lord? How do we honor the Lord? Now, I gave you a definition at the very beginning that I want to go back to today and then jump off of that. I told you at the beginning that honor is displayed in acts of deference that reflect the worth of the one being recognized or respected. So honor is seen through our lives. It is visible and evidenced through our lives in acts of deference that are done that reflect the worth of the one being recognized or respected. Well, if that's the case, then it would follow that if we're going to accurately honor God, then we better know who He is. Or at least we better be on a journey to learning that. If you want to accurately honor God, then you better be diving into the study of God, knowing who He is, so you can accurately honor Him in your life. And who is God? We talked about that a little earlier. I mean, there are some people that don't have an accurate a concept of who God is because things that have happened in your life or a place you are in your life. But we know that we learn honor in our lives through relationship. We learn honor. We are taught honor, most of us, by our parents, by teachers, by other people that we interact with in our life. We learn honor through a relationship with God, through walking with Him and seeing who He is. And my goodness, if we were to talk about who is God, it would take us weeks, months, years, eons, eternity, a long time to accurately know who God is. You say, Pastor, I just don't believe that. I've never seen a subject that at some point in time you can't fully wrap your mind around. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to wrap your mind around God. The Bible says in heaven, when John was seeing a vision of the throne in heaven, he said that there were beings, and some incredible looking beings, things like we don't see on the earth, standing around the throne. And he said these beings constantly, everyone say constantly, constantly were crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Well, it looks like that at some point in time you could get to the last holy. If you can wrap your mind around who God is, then at some point in time, 3,453 holies accurately describes who God is. And we can stop after that. But these beings are gazing at God constantly. They're in the presence of God. And continually, from the beginning of time, if there ever was such a thing with God, who existed from everything. He was the first thing. I mean, nobody created God. He existed. And these beings have been there around the throne. And so from that time period to right now, they're continually saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They cannot get to the end of describing His holiness and who He is. And when we think about who God is, we've got some things that we know. This is just a drop in the bucket. He's Creator. He's the everlasting Father. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's not one that leaves. He's the everlasting Father. He's the beginning and the end. Some of you feel like you're coming to an end. He's the God of your end. Not your rear end. He's the God of your end. He's the God of your rear end too. He's the provider. He's the healer. He's protector. He's justifier. He's righteousness. He's holiness. He's absolute purity. He's judge. He's savior. He's ever present. He's all wise. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. And we could just go on and on and on. But to honor God would be to have attitudes, actions, and speech that accurately reflect who He is. To honor Him would be to have attitudes, actions, and speech that accurately reflect who He is. That would be what it would be to honor Him truly. But so many times, even though we know who God is, and even though we know what He has said to us in His Word, we presume upon God's mercy. And we do not accurately reflect who He is in our attitudes, our actions, and our speech. And you know, acting out of ignorance is one thing. When you don't know something, that's a whole different ball game than knowing something and doing something else anyway. That's called presumption. And so many of us, we see God as the great grandfather in the rocking chair on the porch, the benevolent dad who all he cares about is his children being happy. That's all he cares about. He just wants his kids to be happy. Whatever they decide that they want to do that's going to make them happy, He's not going to interfere with that. As a matter of fact, He's going to aid that. And you know, that in and of itself is an inaccurate portrayal of who God is. Because God is not that way. And we, as you continue to study Him and continue to look at who He is throughout Scripture, you understand that. But sometimes we presume, even though we know God has said something in His Word, don't do this, stay away from this, keep this far away from you. We say, well, God understands in this instance. He may mean that for most of the populace, but in my situation, He understands that there's a different thing going on. And I just want to tell you that presumption regarding God's not honoring Him. Because God is not some schizophrenic father who tells you one thing and doesn't mean it. God's words are creative. God's words are power. God's words are life. And when He speaks, you can know that He means what He says. Now the timing, that's up to Him. But when He tells you something in the Word, or He tells you something by a rhema word directly to your spirit, if that rhema word lines up with the written word, then He is going to perform that. And as soon as you've got it in your spirit, it's as real as the day it comes to pass. Because you can say, my dad said it, I believe it, and that settles it. My dad is not a liar. If he has said this, he's going to make it come to pass. And you know what? He can. He's got all power. Everything is available to our God. Next week I'm going to preach on Matthew 28, I think, on the Great Commission. Boy, I love the way it starts. So that His children don't have to worry about what environment they're going into. I'll just give you a little taste this morning. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Anywhere you go, I don't care how ungodly it is, I have the final authority in that setting, in that place. The final authority rests with me. I don't care what other authorities are operating there. I am the highest authority. And you don't have to be afraid anywhere I send you. Because I'm going to work and do what I tell you I'm going to do. Now, that's just a prequel to next week. But presuming upon God's grace is really nothing more than rebellion. I presumed upon it. We all have. Don't look so holy. Haven't you ever been to the place where you thought, well, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but then we're transforming from a sheep to a goat. Goat's butt. Man, I saw, you know, sheep, but goats, they go around butting things. I saw that poor vet from Houston, Texas, I think he was. You know, they have a reality show for everything now. except a barber. I really want to see one about a barber. Everything. So this poor veterinarian, he's working on these goats, you know, and he's working with them. He turns around, and boy, that goat lays into him, right in the rear. I had that happen to me. My grandfather, we were feeding the goats for a guy who went on vacation that was lived across the road from my grandfather. And we went over there, and we were feeding all of his stock. And man, I bent over to pick something up. Next thing I know, I was head first into the chicken pen. My grandfather said, "You don't want to show your rear to these goats. You don't want to show your rear end, son, to these goats, because that's what they do." How many of you have shown your rear end to a goat and ended up in the chicken pen? That's what you're going to go out of here with today. What did Pastor say today? I'm not to show my rear end to a goat. And not all goats walk around in a barnyard. Some of them live among us. That's right. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says this: "No one who lives in him keeps on sinning." And what that really means is, that means this, is once you come to the understanding that something is wrong, you change. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. To do something we know is wrong is an affront to Jesus' position as King, Lord, righteousness, holiness, etc. So how do we honor him? Well, I've got about four things or so today that shows how we honor him, then we'll be done. First of all, we honor the Lord through obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience. Now, I'm going to try to give you a different picture of some things today. Boy, when some of you say that word obedience, there's just something inside of you that just does like this, because all of you're falling back into legalism. You fall back into this legalistic mindset, thinking that's slavery, that's a trap, that's bondage. Obedience is a relational thing. It's not a legalistic thing. I hear my granddaughter. It's not a legalistic thing. It's a relational thing. And let me just show you. If you know God, you will obey him. If you know God, you'll do what he says. If you don't do what he says, then you're calling him a liar. Okay? If you love him, you'll obey him. If you don't obey him, you're not honoring his redemptive work in your life. He's changed you. He's broken the power of sin out of you. It doesn't have to rule in your life anymore. If you don't obey him, you're not honoring him in his position as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We forget that sometimes. Sometimes we say he's the God of grace above all else, and we just forget that he's the King and the Lord, right? And so what we say is, you just sit on the sideline there and sit there, and if I need you, I'll grab you. Don't go too far away, because I have a tendency to get myself in a mess ever so often. And then we just say, now I know that in a perfect world you said I need to do certain things. But in this situation, I'm going to take the liberty to do some things other than what you said, and I know that you're a God of grace and you will understand and overlook those things. You know what? When you are thinking that way, you are forgetting who God is. Whatever your view of him is not accurate. When we're thinking that way, we're not loving him. When we're thinking that way, we're not flowing in his redemptive work, which he set us free from sin. He set us free from the constant cycle of ruining our own lives. How many of you are glad God broke you out of the cycle of ruining your own life? I can say a big amen to that. You know what? Satan wasn't my worst enemy. I was my worst enemy. We've looked and found the enemy, and he is us. Okay? And I know that. I fear my own flesh more than I do 1,000 devils. Because I know my God's got authority over the devils. And I know he's got authority over my flesh. But I fear my own ability to come into agreement with it. Obedience. That's how we honor the Lord. He's really not Lord until we're obeying Him. My pastor used to say, my first pastor used to say, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You say, well, we're not perfect. Well, that's not a newsflash to God. We're not talking about perfect behavior. That's a legalistic thinking thing. We're talking about being perfect in heart. And that doesn't mean we don't have corrupt things that don't rise up in our heart. But when they do, we either send them to the cross, don't do them, and if for some reason you fall to it, then you go through what's something called true repentance. That is, Lord, I am so sorry because I did not listen to you, I did not honor you, and I did something else, and Lord, I forgive me. And it's not that kind of forgiveness we do just to get a pass until we want to do what we want to do again. That's not real repentance, right? Repentance is a change of mind followed by a change in direction. And when you say, I'm sorry because if I die tonight, I want to go to heaven. I prayed a lot of those prayers when I was a drunk. I did. I'd come home at night and crawl into bed, drunk as I could be, and I'd lay in bed, and all of a sudden I'd hear my mother's words. You can go to hell if you don't know Jesus. And I'd hear my mother's words, and so I'd say, Lord, if for some reason I die tonight, then please take me into your kingdom. But I really am looking forward to what's going on tomorrow night. I didn't no more mean that than a man in the moon. There was no real repentance in that. That was an insurance prayer. Well, insurance is no good if you don't pay the premium. If the premium's not paid, there is no insurance. You're just sitting there trying to collect on something you don't own. That's right, Pastor Parker, that's good. The second way we honor God's through giving. I can hear all the visitors going, oh God. Listen, brothers and sisters, listen. We don't give to get. God's just good that He just blesses givers, but we don't give to get. We don't give to be saved. I like people that say we're free from the law, you know, when we're saved with Jesus, and we are. We're free from law. We are. We're not under the law anymore. You know what we're under? Grace. You know what grace is? The power to be like Jesus. Not mercy to cover every sin. Grace is the power to be like the Lord. Now, we don't give to be saved. We give because it honors God as our provider and because it supports His glory. That's why we give. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, the last part of that's just a supernatural goodness of God. But the first part says honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. It doesn't say obey the Lord by giving, does it? It says what? Honor the Lord. You say, well, that's an Old Testament verse. Okay. The Apostle Paul said that giving is a test of the sincerity of your love, and this one's even tougher. When talking about giving, the Apostle Paul said, I don't speak by commandment. I'm not giving you a commandment to give. I'm not going to do that. We're not under command. We're not living by legalistic commandments when we follow our Lord. He says, but I tell you what I am doing. When I give you the opportunity to give, I'm watching you to see if your love is sincere. Because you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. He said, I'm just watching you to see if you're in a relationship with Jesus. I'm not coming to you with a commandment. I'm coming to you exhorting you to give through your relationship with Christ. I'm not saying you're going to lose everything if you don't give, but what I'm coming to, I'm not saying that if you don't punch this ticket and you don't perform this action, God's going to judge you. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is I'm coming to you through your relationship with Christ. And I'm appealing to you, to the grace of God in you, to give. And if I speak to your love for Christ, I don't have to worry about you giving. I know you will. In 2 Corinthians 8:23, Paul calls the churches the glory of Christ. I read this the other day. I had never seen these words. Do we want to support his glory? Again, this is a relational concept. It's relational. Okay? It's not legalistic. God giving is a product of the character of God, something we might call grace. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, I can hear out there somebody's mind's going, "Well, he ain't just talking about finances." Well, let me just tell you, yeah, that's part of what he's talking about. I'm not saying it's limited to that, but it's in a passage of Scripture where the context is supporting financially. Okay? Grace. Everybody say grace. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm not giving you a commandment. I'm speaking to your grace. I'm speaking to your love." And I have found out that when I do that as a pastor, I see you guys move so strongly. You don't know how much it touched me to see you drop money in that globe for Rabbi Marty. That wasn't a commandment. That was relational. That was a loving action. That was something that was grace displayed. Wasn't it? And I thank you for that. Thank you very, very much for that. So, giving is a character concept. Giving is a heart concept. Giving is a love concept. And when these concepts are displayed in and through our lives, God is honored. Because the grace of Jesus is being revealed through our lives. The third thing is serving. Another way, how do we honor God? By serving. And I said you can give without loving. Well, you can serve without loving, but you can't love without serving. And you know what? I could say it this way too. You can serve without the Spirit, but you can't have the Spirit and not serve. I want to ask you, did something happen in me when I was first born again? I want to see if it happened in you. When I was first born again, Steve, I was so grateful for Jesus saving my life. So grateful. And I wasn't altogether. I really wasn't at that point in time. I mean, he had broken some things off of me, but there were still a few things that had remained behind. I wasn't perfect. But I was so grateful that he had saved my life that the response that was coming up in my heart is, I want to be like him. How many, did anybody ever feel that way when God touched your life? You said, "I didn't say I want to be him, I want to be like him. I want to be like him." And you know, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Isn't that right? So to imitate could be to honor something. And Jesus said in Matthew 20, 26 through 28, he said, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." If you desire to honor God, if you desire to do things that bring great honor to him, then service is one of those things. He says, "Just as I did." And you say, "Well, how do I do that, Pastor Parkey?" Go in the Bible and read how he did it. And emulate that. Emulate that heart of service. And get out there and begin to honor him through serving the Lord. The Lord talks about giving a cup of cold water to somebody. who's thirsty and in need. And those things honor him, and they reveal him, and they're a testimony to the reality of his existence and his heart. And now I've got 6 minutes to do the last one, because this one's going to be fun. So, how do we honor the Lord? We honor through obedience, which is a relational concept. We honor through giving, which is a relational reality. We honor through serving, which is another relational reality. And we honor through respect. To truly honor God, we respect what is important to Him and what reflects Him. Truly honor God, we respect what is important to Him and what reflects Him. One thing we do is we respect the positions He created to respect. And all of those positions primarily can be brought up in one bag called authority, that falls under the heading of authority. And there's lots of different types of authority operating among us, isn't there? There's parental. So familial authority, and I mean family authority, not familiar, but familial. Then we have governmental authorities. We have spiritual authority. We have civil authority. We have all of those authorities. And I understand that any authority that's occupied by a human is going to have bad apples in it. Okay? But we respect the position. Even when the person in the position is unworthy of respect or even obedience, we still respect the position because it has a bad person occupying it does not mean that the position has lost its power to bless. Okay? I mean, now we're having to teach our kids to honor the police officers. And believe me, I know there's been some bad things. Police officers have done some bad things. Pastors have done some bad things. Presidents have done some bad things. Judges have done some bad things. There's any position that's occupied by a human has some bad stuff. But now kids don't even do what a police officer says. I can remember when my mother, but when I was a young heathen, I can remember my mother would tell me this before I left the house. She'd say, "Now, if you go out there and a policeman tells you to do something and you don't do it and he shoots you," she said, "that's on you." She told me that, actually. Anybody else ever hear anything like kind of like that? She told me, she said, "You go out there and you don't do something he tells you and he shoots you, son, that's on you." But now, we're walking toward police officers with axes, a dude up in Denton, and then he shoots you, and you're like, "Oh, my God, it was excessive force." Well, somebody walks toward me with an axe, there's going to be some excessive love shown. Or he walks toward my wife with an axe, we're going to do whatever we got to do to stop it. Now, the Bible says these guys don't bear the sword in vain. And some of them have made bad and grievous errors. But that doesn't take away God's word, doesn't change God's word. You're not going to like the society we're going to have if we get to the place where we don't obey any authorities. You ain't going to like it. You're going to be holed up in the house with 357 magnums close to you, with your property rigged with bombs and a bunch of sea rations or whatever they call those things in your house. You're not going to like the product of that type of society. And if we lose our respect for authority, there's not going to be enough soldiers or police officers to maintain order. There won't be enough. If you want to live in a free society, true freedom depends. If you want to have less external constraints, then you're going to have more internal constraints upon people. The less internal constraints there are, the more external constraints are necessary to maintain order. So, authority, we honor authority. How we treat it is a reflection of our honor for the Lord. Well, I love the Lord. I just can't stand. And you know, if you're really listening to the Lord, He's not going to change what He says. He may say, you know, this person's not worthy. Don't do what they say. But when the Apostle Paul was standing before the high priest, and I don't know how the high priest must have got up in the middle of the night and been in his pajamas or something. But anyway, so the high priest, Paul's standing before the high priest, and the high priest, Paul says, I've lived before God with all good conscience to this day. And the high priest tells the soldier next to Paul, slap him across the mouth. And Paul, he looks at the high priest and he says, God will smite you, you whitewashed wall. He says, you command me to be struck. You sit here to judge me according to the law, and you command me to be struck contrary to the law? And then the soldier leans over and says, are you going to speak to the high priest that way? And Paul said, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was the high priest. He says, for the word of God, then Paul quotes a scripture. For the word of God says, respect those that are in authority. He didn't have to do what he said necessarily if he told him to do something ungodly, unbiblical, but he still had to respect his position. Okay? So, and we respect that which reflects his glory. Something like worship. Worship. And I put a little thing out here. When it's time to worship, we're on time and engaged regardless of how we feel. Some of you say, well, I'll worship God when he makes me feel better. Brothers and sisters, we don't worship God because we feel good. We worship God because of who he is. It's an honor. It's a respect thing. He doesn't change. I can change. My circumstances can change. My emotions can change. But God never does. So I don't worship God according to how I feel. I worship God according to who he is. And you know what? I love you guys, but some of y'all are going to be late to your own funeral. Now, I'm not talking about everybody's going to be late every so often. And today's a good day to be late because you're waiting on somebody that doesn't really want to go to church or that doesn't normally go. So you're going, oh, man, I'm usually there by now, you know. And you're going, where are they? Where are they? You know. Now, I understand that. It's going to happen every so often. But Pastor Bob's right. You got to plan to be habitually late. It takes a plan. It takes a plan to be habitually late. Always. And you know, how many of you are habitually late to work? Then you know what? That really means your boss really doesn't care then, probably. I guarantee you, if Jerry Jones or one of the owners of the Rangers came up to you and said you can sit in their box and watch the game that's coming up, I bet you wouldn't be late. We do what we want to do, folks, by and large. We do what we want to do. Sometimes we're home and the house of God, there's a meeting going on. And I'm not talking about legalism, but I mean, so we're just going to watch TV. Well, I'm glad you're getting more out of TV than you would get with sitting under the word of the Lord. I'm glad. Does that say anything about what we expect from God? Well, I expect nothing. Well, you're probably going to get exactly what you're expecting then. Well, I'd go there, but nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I want to ask you a question. What are our actions saying to God? Somebody says, well, you're here all the time because they pay you to be here all the time. Listen, there was a time they didn't pay me to be here, and I was still here. On time. Because, boy, if Rhonda wasn't on time, I'd be like, we got to go. Well, I really don't like the praise music. God doesn't care what you like and what you don't like. This isn't about you. Now, I'm going to go somewhere where I like the music. I like the music. Man, this isn't Spotify. Where you can create your own playlist. This is led by the Spirit, and He chooses. You know what I'm saying? I pulled that one time in church. When they started singing a song I'd heard 98 times, I said, I'm sick of this song. God said, I like it. I heard him say it right back to me real quick. I like it. And he said, what are you doing here? Are you singing for you or are you singing for me? So I had to repent and sing Amazing Grace one more time. One more time. And get my eyes off of myself and think about what I'm saying about God. And what's the truth of what I'm saying. Do you understand? In the book of Malachi, in chapter 1, verse 8, God says, why don't you try to offer to your boss some of the things you do for me? And see how he would take it. You know? And once again, you know why we do this kind of stuff? Prime and large. Now, I know some of it's, I don't like this. I don't like that. Pastor Steve, he preached people out of the church last Sunday. You know, because church becomes about us. Just like everything else becomes about us. Isn't that right? Don't we have a tendency to make everything about us? Marriage, it's about us. Everything's about us. It's all about us. The world revolves around me, and if it doesn't, it ought to. And I'm mad that it doesn't. You know? Honoring the Lord. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. I went to a 200-week teaching on Proverbs. It wasn't that long, but you were there. How long? All summer. A year's teaching on Proverbs. Every time I thought about going, I felt like crying. First of all, how do you teach Proverbs? How do you put all those eclectic things together and teach that? You know what I mean? But we would go through a half a proverb a week or something. Oh, it was painful. And so I just feel like saying, Lord, I don't want to go. But you know, the Lord never said, you know what, son? This is one thing I never heard from the Lord, and I'm just going to be honest with you. This is one thing I never heard from the Lord. Just stay home. Son, I know it's awful. Just stay home, son. I'm going to stay home too. Just stay on home. Just stay home. Bless your little heart. Bless your little heart. See, there's back to the grandfather on the poor. Bless your little heart. I don't want to take a bath. Bless your little heart. Just stink. That's okay with granddad. Granddad loves you if you stink. He loves you. He loves you. It's all about your comfort, son. Your happiness. Honor the Lord. Everybody say, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. I went to meetings because the king called a meeting. That's why I went. Now I'm not talking about the pastor. King called a meeting. Now I'm not talking about legalistic. There were times I was sick. There were times I were out of town. But when I started finding myself getting in this thing, I don't want to. Then it's time to check the attitude. Well, I'm so tired. Well, listen to what Matt Chandler said. Go to bed tired. Ain't going to hurt you. Well, my kids need their sleep. You know what? I've never had anybody sit in my office and say, I am so messed up mentally because my parents made me stay up past my bedtime to go to church. I've never had one kid and one person in my life ever say that. Ever. Ever. Well, I can't get my kids around all those other snotty-nosed kids. Phil Robertson said, bring them. You know who Phil is, the Duck Dynasty? He said, let them lick the same thing those sick kids lick. He said, they'll build up their immunity. Anyway, well, it's fun. It's 9 minutes after. Why don't we sit here for about 20 minutes, see what the child care workers do. We'll start hearing pans being beat downstairs. God, we'll hear prayers going up down there in deep intercession. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We love you. We honor you. You're so awesome. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you don't let me just get by with any old junk I try to send by. Lord, that you're a loving dad, and you say, son, I'm never going to give up on you. I'm never going to stop working in your life. I love you, and I want you to be a person of character, a person of God. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, we just praise you. We exalt you and thank you. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room today who does not know you, I pray that as they cry out right now and just say, Jesus, save me, that you would save them. Fill their hearts with your Spirit. Dramatically intersect their lives with the cross of Jesus Christ and raise them from the dead and fill them with your Spirit. And Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.